Let's do it again, Ben.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we begin the trading day. On Martha's Vineyard, President Obama started his day by officially renominating Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke to a second term at that post.
Ben approached a financial system on the verge of collapse with calm and wisdom, with bold action and out-of-the-box thinking that has helped put the brakes on our economic freefall.
The financial crisis has been both dove and albatross for Bernanke, who's been one of its most prominent public faces. More on that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. We have markets rising for the Dow, up about 0.5%. As a matter of fact, same for the NASDAQ and S&P 500. Europe's up as well. It swung to being up after being down for most of the day. FTSE's pretty much flat, and Asia closed mixed today. Chinese shares were down about 2.5%. Well, let's bring in and get a reaction from the Bernanke renomination. Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's joining us live from St. Louis this morning. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So you called this some time back. How does this announcement affect a jittery economy?
Amazing prescience, isn't it? I pride myself on my stunning ability to grasp the obvious, but the key is here, you don't change horses midstream, not unless you want to drown. And the markets can't stand up, people, and any change at this point would have sent the markets into a tailspin. Bottom line is, he says he can call the turn and rein in all this liquidity in time to keep inflation from being a huge problem. If he were not there to do it, who's going to do it? It's going to be his call.
Yeah, let's hear from the man himself. Here's the pledge that the Fed chairman made as he stood next to the president this morning.
I will work to the utmost of my abilities with my colleagues at the Federal Reserve and alongside the Congress and the administration to help provide a solid foundation for growth and prosperity in an environment of price stability.
Marketplace's Steve Henn is gauging the reaction in Washington for us, along with Julie Neiman. He joins us live as well. Steve, what are the political maneuvers going on in the Senate for this confirmation?
Well, Steve, unless there's some kind of really enormous unexpected crisis in the economy or some huge misstep, this is really probably a done deal in the Senate. It seems very unlikely that Bernanke is going to run into any significant problems. Christopher Dodd, the Senate banking chairman's already released a statement saying, you know, despite serious differences he had with the Fed chairman in the past, Bernanke's the right person for this job right now. You know, this doesn't mean that all fights in Washington over the Fed's role in the economy, especially regulating the economy, are settled. But for now, it's a pretty safe bet that Bernanke will sail through the Senate nomination process.
Julie, thoughts on the confirmation?
Well, there are lots of young turkeys, I mean young Turks, that were stumping and bumping to succeed him as the world's most important banker here. But Wall Street wants to know what will be happening. They know his policies. They know what he's going to do. They don't want to speculate on somebody else.
And quickly, Julie, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index showed its first quarterly increase in 3 years. Housing downturn buster, do you think?
Well, I did throw up a piece of confetti. You know, this is the second great month that we've had, and it's not great. Bottom line, the good news is we're not plunging anymore, but we're not turning. There's been no splat here. And you have to keep in mind also, this is seasonal. This is when everybody does basically get out there and move, and interest rates are still very facilitating here. But overhanging all of it, 7 million houses still unsold. So this is not cause for rejoicing. It's just a little less pain.
All right, Julie Neiman joining us live in St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington, thanks to you as well.
Sure thing.
All right. Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, August 25th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Here's something you don't hear every day. The federal government's budget deficit is going to be better than expected this year. The Congressional Budget Office and the White House Office of Management and Budget issued updates of government finances this morning. But before you break out all the bubbly, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington the news isn't all that good.
Yes, this year's projected deficit is about to drop. But it's mostly because the government won't be spending some $250 billion that had been set aside for another bank bailout.
It's not as if Congress and the president sat down and did a deficit reduction plan or had a big compromise or something.
Corvus Communications budget watcher Stan Collender says even the lower deficit, somewhere around $1.6 trillion, is by far the largest ever. Still, he thinks the red ink was necessary to fight the recession.
Given that consumers weren't spending and businesses weren't spending earlier in the year, there was no other place to go.
But budget watchdogs like Maya McGinnis at the Committee for a Responsible Budget say there will be hard choices once the economy starts to recover.
We're going to have to talk about raising taxes and cutting spending, things politicians don't like to talk about, but they're going to be absolutely necessary to do.
Among her recommendations, let the tax cuts sponsored by President George Bush expire next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
It's a more than $250 million jackpot, and yes, there are a lot of people buying up a lot of tickets to the 12-state Mega Millions lottery game. Maybe you think lotteries fare better than other spending habits during tough economic times, and some research backs that up. But Jill Barchet reports they aren't as recession-proof as they used to be.
And this is a big number right now, you know?
Tony Cash owns a restaurant in New York. He's barely surviving in this economy, but he's still plunked down $10 on lottery tickets.
So if we hit this number, you know, it's like a retirement for the whole family.
Lottery ticket sales are down 3% in the first half of this year nationally. That's according to the Rockefeller Institute of Government. But states are hoping that huge jackpots like the Mega Millions will generate lots of revenue. Gordon Medenica is the director of the New York Lottery. He says people used to think that lotteries do well no matter what. But this recession shows that lotteries are vulnerable to consumer sentiment.
I wouldn't say it's recession-proof, no, because I think at the real darkness of it, again, the first quarter this year was one of the, certainly one of the worst quarters that we've had in years.
But Medenica says lotteries are doing much better than most sectors of the economy. With gas prices lower than last summer, he says, people have more to spend on the lotto. And New York's lottery is already starting to recover. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
China's been busy making acquisitions, especially in oil and gas. This year alone, Chinese state-owned companies have inked multi-billion-dollar deals in Russia, Angola, and Brazil. But one deal in Iraq has landed corporate China in some political hot water. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
China's biggest refiner, Sinopec, may be blacklisted from future projects in Iraq. So says a top Iraqi official quoted by Reuters. That's because Sinopec may buy a Swiss oil drilling firm that has a deal with the Kurds in northern Iraq. The Kurds in Baghdad don't see eye to eye on oil revenue. Sinopec, welcome to the neighborhood, says David Hewitt of brokerage CLSA.
The blacklist comment that we're talking about today is probably one of many signposts that signal the difficulty of working in that area.
Still, China is hugely interested in Mideast oil. It imports half its oil, so it needs energy security. Global assets are now cheap, and Beijing has cash. Sinopec did not comment today, but even if it were blacklisted, Hewitt figures China can deal with it.
If Sinopec were barred from future bids in Iraq, then you still have two other state-owned entities that are Chinese that can continue to bid in Iraq.
Meantime, corporate China is still shopping elsewhere. Word is the next big oil deal could come in Argentina. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Anger is growing this morning in Germany against General Motors. The frustration centers on reports that the car company may decide not to sell its European division. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard has the latest.
GM agreed in principle to sell its Opel subsidiary back in May. The German government backs a sale to the Canadian car parts maker Magna. The government promised to put up more than $5 billion to back the deal. But the talks stagnated, and now reports emerging from the US suggest that GM's having second thoughts. It may try to keep Opel and raise the rescue funds itself. The German government is reported to be furious. Auto industry analyst Ferdinand Dudenhofer says most Germans support a takeover by Magna.
Germany is prepared to fight for that solution because it's the sustainable solution.
He says the Magna bid is likely to involve the least number of job losses at Opel. The labor unions at the company are threatening mass protests if the deal doesn't go ahead. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
these tough economic times, it turns out money really can buy you love. Or at least to date. Sally Herships has more.
Jan Landy is 58. He sells professional sound and lighting equipment in Las Vegas. He's what you might call a connoisseur of online dating sites. He says he's tried them all, from eHarmony to The Onion. His current favorite is MillionaireMatch.com. He says the site lets big earners like him certify their incomes. Landy had to send in a copy of his tax return.
Because what happens is when you're on Millionaire Match, you actually think you're going to meet a millionaire.
And are you?
Well, some people are millionaires. I happen to be a certified millionaire, and that really helps in casting the net.
For the younger, attractive women Landy was hoping to meet. But actually, Landy's onto something. According to Ray Fisman, he's a behavioral economist at Columbia Business School. He used to run a speed dating service.
Yes, if you want to put it very coarsely, and maybe you shouldn't put this on there, the gold digger stereotype holds true.
Fisman has studied daters. He says if a man's earning capacity goes up by about $250,000, it can have the same effect as the ultimate makeover, turning him from extremely unattractive to extremely, well, hot. But sorry, single ladies, the reverse isn't true.
There's basically no sum of money that will make an unattractive woman desirable on these sites.
Fisman says online, looks are the main currency for women. But for men like Landy, answering queries about your bank balance can help you get a date. But even though science says money is a surefire online aphrodisiac, there's still one problem. How do you know if online daters are being honest? Landy says take his new girlfriend. She drives a Lexus.
What's the story on the car? Is it leased? I have no idea. What am I going to do, go through her glove compartment and look at her registration? It ain't going
to
happen.
And Fisman says, even when sites seem to have nailed the right questions to ask, it's still hard to know if they're successful at matching.
Very often we don't observe these outcomes, and in fact, in many cases, the companies themselves don't observe these outcomes.
Who knows, Fisman says, what will happen with a relationship 40 years from now? Landy just canceled his membership on Millionaire Match. He's going to see how things go with his current girlfriend, the one with the nice car. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Reminder, the economy still needs lots of love. The White House and officials there are projecting lingering high unemployment, peaking at 10%. The administration's also predicting a massive 10-year federal deficit of $9 trillion. In May, officials had said the deficit would be $7 trillion. Check us out at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.